My opinion is a bit controversial in this respect.
Okay.
We are like starting to get too good at engineering and we are not too good at use cases.
You're not just doing this with Polkadot. You said 50, you have 50 apps on Ledger.
Cosmos, Filecoin, ICP. We did some stuff for Algorand, Avalanche.
So what are some blockchain where they are getting users? Where's the adoption happening?
That's
now?
A good question. The launch team wishes you good luck and Godspeed.
Space Monkeys, blasting off with Juan Lenny. He's the CEO of Zondex, mostly known for building and maintaining the Ledger app for Polkadot, but there's a bunch of other things they do in the Polkadot ecosystem and outside. Juan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation.
First time I heard about you was just, or Zondex, the company, was just maybe 4 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago, when there was some controversy in OpenGov, in the Treasury, because you were looking for funding to build a new type of Ledger app for the Polkadot ecosystem. And there was also another group that wanted to do something similar. Can you give us a rundown of kind of what happened there and the results?
Yes. Maybe I give you a bit of context because we have been involved like for a really long time. I mean, the thing is, we originally built the Ledger app and we maintained the Ledger app for Polkadot through the Web3 Foundation support. I mean, they were like funding all this. Mm-hmm. Because of all these changes and the fact that OpenGov started to get more and more important, the Web3 Foundation suggested that we should go to the Treasury for funding. So it was a kind of like, not just that we wanted to start something new, it was more a kind of like continuation of what we have been already doing for a long time.
Yeah, no doubt.
The situation is that there was a bit of kind of like a kind of transition over time, because initially we were like kind of like doing only Polkadot, Kusama, and the system parachains. But later when parachains appear, like initially it was like clear that parachains had to have like kind of support for Ledger, but it was not completely clear if parachains were going to be kind of like fully independent kind of like teams and apps, or if they were going to be kind of like part of the Polkadot app itself.
Yeah.
So in the first year after Crowdloan started, it's like everyone wanted to have their own kind of like own app independently with their own logo and separation, and also kind of the specialization, like every parachain had their own specific palettes and they wanted that to be kind of like in their own app.
Yeah.
But that resulted in kind of like a proliferation of like a lot of apps, and it because of some technical that maybe we can discuss later or not, creating like that adding so many kind of like palettes and that parachains were innovating so much was like kind of like not making it possible for the Polkadot app to start like taking over everything.
Yeah.
That was kind of like the situation where we were at in June. We wanted to have a kind of like continuation for the support of the Polkadot app, but at the same time, parachains wanted to have a way of like having specialized apps in a much cheaper and efficient way.
Yeah.
The problem is that's easy if you just do blind signing. I mean, you just don't know what you are signing and that's it. But it's not so easy and require like changes in the nodes, in the Polkadot nodes, if you wanted to have like a kind of not blind signing for any parachain. Mm-hmm. So the situation there was that first we had to keep maintaining the app. Like this was kind of the first thing that went into OpenGov.
That's
the
right.
Maintenance for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other is like solve the long-term problem, which was kind of getting a single generic app for all the parachains.
Yeah.
So at that point in time, there was another team that was proposing, okay, they took the app that was like, that we built for Polkadot, they removed like all the code that was like doing the checks for the palettes, and we were like having almost like blind signing for a lot of the parachains. We went through kind of like the OpenGov governance decision, and we got the maintenance for 1 year, and later we team up with Alcimologist, which is the guys from Campella.
We just had Kirill on the show, actually.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Because they had like something similar. They wanted to have a generic app that was like, or generic device that was going to be able to kind of like sign everything, clear signing, like
right.
You could read it.
Mm-hmm.
But they had the same problem. They had to get like information from the node that was like kind of trusted. So trusted metadata. So we teamed up to create kind of like standard for trusted metadata.
Mm-hmm.
And then we both started to kind of develop this generic app where I mean, we are like kind of like finishing that up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already kind of like working. And now we are like adding the proof part, that proof that the what you are showing is actually matching the metadata on chain. When that gets published, like any parachain or any chain, any even like system parachains that complies with this additional meta, verifiable metadata kind of like feature, they will be able to use a single generic app. We're in a situation where finally the generic app is going to be kind of available soon.
Mm-hmm.
We keep it with the maintenance like until June next year, like maintaining all these. I mean, there is a bit of overlap between the old app and the new app because obviously we want to be sure that everything works well.
And people have to migrate over to the new app as well.
Yeah, and everyone will need to migrate. So it will take a bit of time.
So why does it take, you were alluding to it taking a little bit more time to...
Yeah.
Yeah, what were you meaning by that?
So typically when you build a ledger app, it's not just like build and that's it. It has to go through a process that is defined by Ledger, and also kind of like we have like our own process on top of it. So at the moment, even when we finish the app and the app is available,
mm-hmm.
We need to go through an external audit. There are a few auditors that we typically work with, and they're like kind of like chosen by Ledger. They want us to select one of those. So we need to go through that audit. Later, we need to submit that. Then there is a functional test, like test that everyone can work with, that is like user friendly, that is not unclear, that people will understand, because it's a consumer device. You don't want people to get like completely confused when they do these operations.
Yeah.
Then you need to be sure that wallets catch up. So typically there is a development release where you can get it from Ledger Live, but not everyone can get it.
Mm.
And then developers can catch up with that. They can test their own wallets, work with that new firmware release. And then probably we need to kind of like also go and solve some kind of like communication problems, like market a bit kind of the concept so everyone is aware. Because what we don't want is that suddenly someone has in some drawer in their bedroom, like some ledger, wherever they plug and they say, oh, my money's not there. And it's not that it's not there, it's that you need to upgrade and you need to, you know,
right.
These things. So it's not just like, okay, we put it in GitHub, it's like the work is done.
Mm.
There is the whole thing that has to be kind of like all aligned. Plus, you need, so this is another kind of important thing in all this process, is like for this to be approved, there must be a chain that has tokens with value that Ledger can test on. I mean, that they need, so we will need the upgrade from Parity, from like the new kind of like host and runtimes to be available, to be put on chain, the governance to approve that. So there is a kind of like all these steps that need to go through before we can like say, okay, this is working and that's it. The good thing is that because it's generic and how we have like redesigned all this, the amount of new releases that we'll need to make is probably going to be kind of a lot lower.
That's good.
With the disclaimer that maybe in the first kind of like months, we might discover, I mean, obviously, you never know, but we might discover that something is not as friendly enough as we wanted, and we want to make another kind of like 1.1 release or something like that.
Sure.
That's, I mean, software.
Yeah.
But we will not have to have, like, as before, a change. Every time there was a significant change in the runtimes and the structure of the palettes, we had to make a release. So until now, we have been making approximately, like, 12 releases per year for Polkadot and Kusama, and probably more. And now that's going to kind of like settle quite a bit.
So 12 releases a year, maybe more for Polkadot and Kusama. Also multiple releases a year for the parachains you were supporting?
Yeah, of course.
This is a crazy business. So you are, on one hand, you're trying to keep up with releases from any blockchain. You're trying to make sure that your app can support any breaking changes they make. On the other hand, you're trying to make sure that Ledger's happy. And then do you have also like a customer, like a jammed packed customer service avenue as well? Or do you have to deal with end users or no?
Not really. I mean, we're more kind of on the engineering side. We are very B2B. We work directly for the chains or the foundations or the projects. We typically do not work directly with users. Of course, some users come to us.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, we help them because of, okay, it's fine, but typically we direct them to the teams. The main thing here, and the reason we have to direct them to the teams, is that if the problem is an obvious problem, yeah, maybe we can help, but it's very important that we cannot just go and modify an app, or we cannot just like decide ourselves that we are going to fix something. I mean, these things belong to the teams, and they're kind of the custodians of it. Imagine that if we were going to just like, okay, because we like it, we just go and make a modification on some app just because we thought it was like cool to do it.
Sure.
And so we don't do that. We could not do that. And also Ledger would not accept that. I mean, the things need to kind of like come from the one that makes the submission. So typically we work like along the process. We help them like all these kind of like hurdles that they need to go through, but it's typically the teams themselves that make the submission, and this is also kind of important, and another problem with like kind of smaller teams. When something gets published in Ledger, Ledger wants to be sure that it's going to be maintained in the long term. And it's not the responsibility of the third party company that works on a contract to do that. It's typically the team themselves that they need to kind of like do that.
Understood.
I mean, in the end, it would be fine if we are replaced by a third party. What Ledger wants to have is a counterparty. Okay, you publish the app for Chainx, then maintain Chainx, and that has to be Chainx because it's the only one that is really there for the long term for that chain.
Yeah, understood.
So
okay, so you're not just doing this with Polkadot. You said you have 50 apps on Ledger.
Yeah,
with 50 different chains at least. Are you doing anything outside of Ledger? Are there any other hardware wallets that you're working on, or is there any trends that you're noticing toward other hardware wallets?
I mean, hardware wallets, not so much. So typically, I mean, there are a few others like Trezor, Bitbox, but typically, I mean, we are happy to do it, and we can do it, and we have done it.
Yeah.
But it's not typically what we are asked to do. I mean, in general, like most people really want to go to Ledger. But at the same time, the trend right now is or at least what everyone is like talking about like these days is more about like account abstraction, and everyone is trying to go to something like that. But in the space of hardware wallets, I guess like Ledger is still kind of like the kind of like premium brand, like the top one.
Yeah, right.
From a security standpoint, Ledger has been typically the best. Now the new Trezor device, they have like an HSM. They start to get like a bit better in that sense. But typically we are not like requested too much of it.
Got it. You guys aren't just a hardware wallet company, right?
Yeah, we do quite a lot other things outside that. The thing is, so in general, and I in a way has been a kind of disadvantage, but an advantage at the same time.
Okay.
Kind of like not being so exposed to kind of like normal consumers, community people. I mean, we are like really, really, really B2B.
Yeah.
Kind of like, so in the end, it's like, as you said, you didn't hear all like Zondax before, but we have been there like for a long time.
The whole time. I use Zondax. Probably, yeah, I did. No idea.
It's similar with like other products. So in the hardware wallet or like in the security space, we work like would really like a lot, like I don't know, Cosmos, Filecoin, ICP. We did some stuff for we actually do for Algorand, Avalanche. Like we work for many.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things that we do. I mean, typically, like we get like strong relations with like most of the chains in the ecosystem because of that. But once they start working with us and they like how we do things, we start to kind of like grow that relation.
Okay.
So one of the most kind of like follow-ups, like most common follow-ups is like Ledger Live integration, where it's not just the hardware wallet itself, but we integrate completely into Ledger Live.
Right.
And that triggers a lot of issues because or things to do in a way. So once you want to be in Ledger Live, then you need to have an indexer, and then you need to have a kind of like backend or infrastructure that is running your nodes. Then you need to have a kind of like secure tunnel between like your data center and Ledger. Then you need to have a way to maintain kind of like information on your chain, like kind of like almost like a mini lock explorer, because you need to know what is the balance for each account, what are the transactions that were happening. So there is a lot of work, and then you need to modify Ledger Live. So typically in just that triggers like a lot of additional work that we also do.
Sure. So you're normally doing infrastructure indexing.
Yeah.
Along
so,
that path,
so we
right?
do infrastructure. I mean, we have like a kind of a mix of, let's say, like a hybrid infrastructure. We have like kind of cloud stuff, but we also have our own servers in a data center in Zurich. Wow. For kind of like a very large or very secure things. Then we need to, as you say, like indexing, and then we need to do a lot of like the work on the front end inside Ledger Live. And actually, when you look at where is the connection is that when you have a kind of like, when you want to make a transaction from A to B as a user, what you typically need is first run a node, second understand what the binary transaction should be translated into so the user understands. So that's what a Ledger device does, but it's also what an index here does. Mm-hmm. It just takes data from the node, takes the transaction and translate that into something that you can read. So when we build a Ledger app and we understand how to show the transaction in the tiny screen,
yeah,
the same code can be used for indexing too. I mean, we just get the transaction and we express it in a friendly way. So then that's all kind of like the connection there. And then for an exchange, it's also similar. An exchange also needs to create transactions based on what their users do and be sure that they sign it and be sure that they get the data from the node. So it's kind of like all connected there.
Okay, let's talk about some of the other ecosystems you're working in, because you know, sometimes we get some criticism in Polkadot for being a little focused on ourselves. You
okay.
know? you're working with Cosmos,
friends
of the Polkadot ecosystem.
Yeah.
What's going on over there? What's your perception of that ecosystem?
Cosmos is always and is intended to be a very kind of like a creative but mix of intentional chaos ecosystem. I mean, yeah. the thing is like you have all these zones that they appear, disappear. Everyone can fork. Everyone can try their own thing. Mm-hmm. So we're actually more on kind of like the engineering side of it.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have a zone, but we are like core developers. We were directly for the Interchain Foundation. So now the roadmap for 2024 has been announced. And one of the things that we want to do is kind of like rework all the cryptography in Cosmos.
Whoa.
Because Cosmos is actually, there is a bit of kind of confusion there. So when we say Cosmos, there are many ways you can interpret that. So one is like Cosmos Hub, which is one of the zones. Mm-hmm. The other is like Cosmos as the ecosystem, and the other is like Cosmos SDK, that is the SDK that people use. What the Interchain maintains is the Interchain stack, or that one of the things is the SDK. So what we work is for the Cosmos SDK. The problem is the SDK had been kind of like block from the cryptography point of view for a long time. I mean, there is only a few signature schemes that you can use, and that's kind of like, that's all. And a lot of people want to innovate, and they want that to be more flexible. So we're like kind of reworking on that next year.
What other ecosystems are doing unique and interesting things right now?
One of the trendy things this year has been, okay, let's go for data availability and stuff like that. So
that's
one thing that everyone is kind of like doing in different ways.
Can you quickly describe data availability for us?
I mean, basically the thing is that it's trying to separate like in layers what has been like all like in a monolithic node before.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like not to care so much about like kind of the transactions themselves, but to deal directly with like, okay, block content and consensus.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like splitting that there. The thing is, so Celestia has been doing like a really, really nice work in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that many teams and even like the new Polkadot 2.0 is kind of like trying to move in that direction, like kind of like selling block space and then you build your applications on top. Mm-hmm. I mean, my opinion is a bit controversial in this respect.
Okay.
And I think it's really good that's going on. And I personally it might be taken as criticism without a solution, but this is something that we all need to solve. And is that it's a great solution that we start to look. It's a great thing that we start to look at these things, but we are like starting to get too good at engineering, and we are not too good at use cases. Mm. And us as Zondax also have that feeling that we're really good at engineering, and we kind of like go and hide ourselves on the engineering side, and then we are going to make the fantastic kind of engineering solution.
Yeah.
But the use cases start to lack.
Yeah, right.
And the whole trend that I'm seeing kind of like from far away is that a lot of the blockchains are getting like very specialized on the engineering side, even more, and kind of like pushing the responsibility of the use cases to the community will come and build it.
Right.
So nothing about this data related thing. I think it's amazing, and I think it's going to kind of like be a really good breakthrough, and it's going to be used a lot. But we really need to see how we are going to get like use cases to be kind of like there, and who is going to be there. I'm very pro blockchain, but in general, I see that a lot of the consumers don't really care that much. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the end, it's like take care of like kind of like saving time and but I mean sometimes like I hear like the narrative that okay, the reason I choose project A over B or like chain A over B is because the fee is like half the but you will get that problem when you have like I know 1 million users.
Yeah.
You have that problem now.
Yeah.
I mean it's like just get the users and later you see how you optimize. Don't like over optimize all your engineering.
That's
like,
true, yeah. So okay, what are some blockchains that you're seeing trends where they are getting users? Where's the adoption happening?
That's a good question.
Okay.
I mean, I could have answered that like maybe last year, but right now I'm not sure. Like,
because everything's dead.
Not dead, but I'm not sure like where users are coming now. I guess now that prices have gone up and people start to look at like blockchain, like. People just follow newspapers. You see, something goes up like 10%. Oh, no, it's Bitcoin is coming up. Should I invest? It's like, you know, like this thing happens like so many times. Maybe there is a kind of like transition coming back. But to be honest, like right now, who is getting actual users? Like,
like people signing transactions.
It's hard to answer.
Who was it a year ago?
I mean, like if a year ago or maybe longer. I mean, you have like everyone was like on NFTs. It's like NFTs were like everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
But now NFTs are not so trendy anymore, you know. It's like, but a year ago it was like kind of okay. There are these kind of things, you know. Like you have like DeFi, boom.
Yeah.
You have like NFTs, boom.
Yeah.
Like, right now it's not so much.
Well, nothing's going crazy. But do you recognize any kind of movements into a blockchain, any trends where there's growth at all? And specifically like transaction growth.
But not significantly. I mean, not something that you say, okay, now this is, I mean, obviously everyone is like interested in that because it's like, okay, then I should go and invest here and there. I mean, right now there are a few big trends. Like one is account abstraction. Because it's like everyone wants to kind of like have a way not to kind of like lose their mnemonic and rely on some friend. And this has been a big problem. It's like self-custody started to be kind of like a burden for a lot of people. Initially it was like, oh, not your keys, not your coins, like whatever. But then it's like, oh, why do I need to have my keys? It's like, I don't want to have my keys. I just want to go with my passport. I'm not so much a pro at that. I mean, I still think that we need to be kind of like careful, but and to have our own keys, but that changes the mentality and not everyone is like willing to do that. But account abstraction is one thing. Then you have like data availability. Then obviously the promise of the metaverse and kind of like augmented reality. Everyone is trying to get a bit into gaming and metaverse because the idea is that, okay, that's where a lot of consumers are going to be.
Yeah.
Problem is that in metaverse, it's like, why blockchain? I mean, it's like, yeah, because it's distributed, whatever. Yeah, but I don't know, like Sony, like Xbox, like, I don't know, they're like any other kind of like gaming companies. If they are centralized or not centralized, the gamers don't actually care that much. I mean, that's maybe right. It's a small niche, but who cares if it's like centralized or not? I mean, what they care is that within that like environment, they can like transact or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, eventually, if you say metaverse is going to be important or not, probably it's going to be somehow important somehow, but blockchain probably is like an application in that thing, not
the foundation.
Kind of like the foundation of the whole metaverse runs on the blockchain.
Of course.
Because that's inefficient. I mean, it doesn't make sense. But that's something that a lot of projects are working on. And then obviously the privacy part has always been there for a long time.
Yeah. Have you worked with Monero or any of these?
So we worked for Zcash.
Okay.
We did. I mean, we worked for Namadanoma. We did a few things also for Tezos. They also have like Sapling. Hmm. So we did a bit. In general, the problem is that governments are not like super happy, kind of like with privacy coins.
Yeah.
So then exchanges are not happy, and then there is a kind of like a lot of issues around that. Mm. So privacy is something that is interesting and is important, but I guess it's not so easy, kind of like as a solution, and at the point, it's also kind of like something that I don't think is so easy to achieve, because the level of paranoia that you need to have in order to keep your privacy is so high that it's unbearable. I mean, in the end, it's like you always leak information through your friends, through your activities. It's not just that, I make this thing that is private and then everything is safe. You're like kind of like leaking information everywhere.
So of course,
I'm not sure like privacy coins are really kind of like a comprehensive solution. I mean, it's good, but you're like leaking information anywhere. Mm-hmm. And now with like kind of like AI and the level of like correlations that you can get from all the data you're like kind of collecting around you, is like, it's very difficult to be private.
You can't really be invisible as long as you're alive, right?
It's very hard. I mean, in the end, it's like, even if you're like the perfect kind of like paranoia privacy guy,
right?
You send something to your mother or to your cousin or whatever, and then you're like starting to leak information there.
Totally.
And so it's kind of like a network issue. You cannot like stop it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, privacy is an interesting hobby for a lot of people, though. Like, I feel like, I don't know, they build it like a computer around themselves, right? They build this private world. And so you just have to convince yourself that you're private, really.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. But you walk out and someone takes a picture of, like, I don't know, a cat, and you're like just passing through, and then
right? It's like, you see any AI blockchain stuff? I mean, AI was trendy in general tech a second ago.
So actually, AI is one of my kind of like kind of passions in a way.
When I got into, but not
because of kind of like making this trendy. I mean, when I got into blockchain, I dropped my PhD. I was doing a PhD in machine learning. So it was like already kind of like something that I really enjoyed.
Yeah,
I end up like being in blockchain, and in a way it's like kind of like I left it a bit behind.
Yeah.
But it's something that I'm really interested in. And I have always kind of like trying to find like, okay, where we can actually kind of like combine both that makes sense in a substantial way, in a kind of like in the essence. Not, I mean, all of the projects that I've seen like till now with AI is like, okay, we're going to make a marketplace about AI. Yeah, but that's the same as a marketplace on candy. I mean, the AI is not like kind of like part of the thing.
Yeah.
The other is like, okay, we're going to make kind of like a AI training. So, but that's basically like kind of like selling infrastructure, right? It's not, AI is not again there. There are a few projects, like for example, doing kind of like security tools that use AI for smart contracts. Yeah, it's okay, but it's not really kind of like at the base of it. So I have not seen any. I mean, we work for a few that have some AI components here and there, but nothing where you see, okay, this is connected to that. The part where I think it might be eventually connected,
yeah,
is that so, and I don't know exactly how. I mean, but I have a feeling that that's where things might get connected. If you start having kind of like a lot of autonomous entities, like kind of things that can make decisions for themselves, and they need to transact and they need to reach some consensus, there might be something that is like kind of essential, because right now we are like used to kind of like deal between like individuals, mm-hmm. but at the rate that this might need to take place, there might be something there. And there has been like kind of a lot of research on negotiation, like AIs making negotiations between themselves. Mm-hmm. There was something really interesting from Facebook a couple of years ago. So eventually maybe there is a kind of like a kind of layer of kind of like AI negotiation entities or framework that makes sense. But I mean, in the end, maybe what it happens is that blockchain is for AIs and it's not for individuals. You know,
right?
Like,
right.
We keep using like I know the phone, like something similar, and the thing that uses actually blockchain is AIs, because what might happen is that there will be no single kind of like not one AI that covers all, because I know Anthropic will have one and let's say OpenAI has another, and then you need to reach some consensus between those two. So then that's when blockchain kind of like makes sense.
Yeah, okay.
So this is maybe where things can go, but I don't know. I mean, I think until now I have not seen anything that is like actually essential.
Speaking of new things coming up, we have this somewhat vague idea that we're calling Polkadot 2.0. What's your perception of what Polkadot 2.0 is or could be?
It's relatively clear as a very high level concept.
Okay.
Polkadot wants to sell kind of like cores, which is basically like kind of a bit of block space plus a bit of compute in a very kind of like a secure environment in a way. It's like kind of the concept is not so kind of like strange. The problem is like, how is that going to take place? What is the process? What are going to be the tools? It's like these things are still kind of like at least not so clear to me. Mm-hmm. There were a few documents that Gavin wrote, and there is some content going around, and there was a nice talk from Rob in Sub-Zero, mm-hmm. but it's still kind of like a bit unclear how that will like take place.
Yeah.
And then for us, something that is very interesting is, okay, what can we build on top? I mean, can we try to kind of like help this transition or help kind of like developers that want to come to this Polkadot 2.0 to kind of like build quicker and be more efficient? And as I said, like kind of the Ethereum way of deploying, where just like, okay, you concentrate on your user facing application and then you can deploy and it's like super easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that we would like to do, but there are still like so many kind of like technical details that are a bit unclear to us that, okay, it will take a bit longer. Now, is that something that we were like talking about trends? It's something that others are kind of doing? Yes. I mean, I see quite a bit of parallel with like what Celestia is doing, and also with like Internet Computer is doing. So Internet Computer is a bit different because they are not so open blockchain. It's a bit more permission, so you know everyone can run a node. Mm-hmm. But they have this kind of like concept where you have something called a canister. You just write a WebAssembly kind of like a smart contract, mm-hmm. and then you can deploy, and then you execute, and you pay for 4 cycles, and you can pay a bit for storage. So the concept is not. And I noticed that that most recently there has been a kind of like more and more kind of like pushing the idea of the Polkadot Universal Computer, which sounds a bit similar to the Internet Computer. There is a bit of kind of like common points between these and the other kind of like projects there.
Sure.
We go back to my main concern in general. It's like, okay, first, we can make the tooling for users to come or like developers to come, and that should be good for developers. but developers need to bring the users. And we are like always going back to the same situation. I mean, it's actually, we need this thing to be kind of like sustain like good use cases. Yeah. And the use cases are actually the issue. So Polkadot 2.0, I think, is going to be like super interesting. At some point, all these experiments, probably there will not be like 200 that they can do this, like at scale. So Polkadot is kind of like one of the top 20 chains, probably is going to kind of like be one of the best ones to support this. The idea was already kind of like something that EOS was doing like long time ago, but EOS you have to write in C++, and it was like kind of like, oh, a headache. So it's kind of like, I don't know, repeating and optimizing ideas that have been there for a while.
Yeah.
But we are still kind of in a situation where we need to find like proper use cases. Mm-hmm. That's my main concern at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, I wonder, based on a lot of the conversations we've been having on this show recently, I wonder if those use cases are going to come from, you know, the individual developer looking to deploy, you know, the equivalent of a smart contract, or if the use cases are going to come from, you know, like a bank or something like that, some sort of big enterprise. And maybe it can be a place where they can all work on the same platform. It's possible.
Yeah, maybe because of our background as a company, and we are like always more going to the B2B kind of things.
Yeah,
I'm more excited about like kind of like working directly with industry partners or kind of like establishing collaborations with, I don't know, pharmaceuticals, automotive, insurance, like things like that.
Yeah,
that they already have the kind of like connection to the customers.
Mm-hmm.
And they have problems that they need to fix instead of like trying to go to the customers. Obviously, going mass market is kind of like amazing. It's really interesting, but it's also kind of like tough. And then you have like a lot of incumbents that are like driving the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
We can be a bit utopic and say, okay, we are going to kind of like have all these people transition to blockchain.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of like short-term, medium-term kind of strategy goes more through kind of establishing like kind of like good industrial connections rather than going directly to consumers.
Yeah.
So I completely agree with that. I mean, I prefer that way. And also there is a already kind of like much easier way to kind of like get funding. I mean, the people, there has been a lot of experience on understanding the subtle problems in that kind of like in their business model. They really know what the problem they are dealing with. When in the other case you have like I'm not against innovation, but sometimes you have like, I don't know, three developers that are coming with an engineering background and they want to get into insurance, and they say we're going to revolutionize insurance. Maybe they do, but the likelihood of that happening when you have like massive insurance companies is like not the same as trying to go to the insurance company, say, okay, what the problems that you have we can solve, and then try to kind of like work more through alliances than to completely disrupt.
That's right. In the end, maybe it won't be a revolution, but we actually need to collaborate with existing businesses and economies to improve them, maybe rather than replace them completely, or that sort of vision there.
Definitely. I mean, in the end, if you ask me, or like Polkadot itself, I think like Polkadot as more like kind of an infrastructure, this idea of Polkadot universal computer or whatever, it will like be easier for it to survive through industrial and kind of like a big collaborations rather than trying to get like a lot of tiny kind of like small companies with like three developers to come up with the perfect use case.
I think
the size is the size of Polkadot kind of justifies more direct relations with these companies.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's two different bets, but I think it should go a bit in that direction. I mean, similar for other ecosystems. I mean, I think like many of these ecosystems should really push more in that direction.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Juan, love your insight. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much also for the Polkadot app.
Okay.
You know, nice to know the man behind the signet.
It's not just me.
I understand.
Team.
Well, give thanks to your whole team. Pleasure having you here. So thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you again for the invitation.